Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Holly Girth, and she is a best-selling author and speaker. She loves connecting with the hearts of women through her popular blog and books like You're Already Amazing and Opening the Door to Your God-Sized Dream. She's also co-founder of Courage, and a partner with Dayspring. Holly lives with her husband, Mark, in the South, and you can hang out with her at www.hollygirth.com. I'm going to spell that out for you. It's HOLLEYGERTH.com. Today we're going to talk about something that I think has never been talked about on this show. And Holly, I'm so glad you have written a book about it. It's called Your Love No Matter What. And it has to do with the idea of perfectionism. And I'm just going to start off by saying, what led you to write on the topic?
Well, it was something that I had personally struggled with, just always feeling like I needed to try harder and be better. And the more I interacted with women, the more I realized I wasn't the only one. And I kept hearing women say, I'm tired.
Yes.
And the more I looked into it, the more I realized that perfectionism was a lot of the reason why, and that God had a better way for us to live.
So, were you raised as a Christian young girl?
Mm-hmm. I was. My grandparents had a Christian bookstore growing up, loving parents.
You probably heard that text, whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might.
Yes.
And the problem is that when you do everything with all of your might, all of the time, you do get pretty exhausted.
Yes, that's a great point. I like to say that, you know, Philippians 4:13 says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, but it never says we have to do it all. And I think we can start believing I have to do everything all the time perfectly, and then we wind up exhausted.
I'm just going to kind of unpack some of the chapters of your book. So your title was Why You Really Don't Have to Be Perfect, but why don't we have to be perfect?
Well, we don't have to be perfect because, first of all, we can't be. It's impossible. And thankfully, God sent a Savior who said, you know what, I will make you perfect in the way that you need to be eternally to have a relationship with me. And then I will take you on a process of growth until you're home in heaven. And so God's goal for our lives isn't perfection. It's growth and connection.
That's a powerful statement. So how did you word that? God's goal for our life isn't perfection.
It's growth.
But it's growth and connection.
Yes.
That just bared being repeated. So one of your chapters is titled Trading Guilt for Grace. Mm-hmm. And I think that I would like my listeners to even be able to identify how they know when they are acting because of guilt.
Mm-hmm.
What physical signs or mental attitudes can alert you that, hey, I'm functioning out of a sense of guilt here?
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great question because a lot of us carry around guilt, which God never intended. In Scripture, guilt is always a legal term, not an emotional one. And so if someone's feeling guilt, they're feeling not, I've made a choice that doesn't honor God or align with who I am, and therefore I need to change. They're feeling, I'm bad, I'm a failure, I can never do better. There's a lack of hope and a heaviness that comes with guilt that just isn't the same as when God convicts us. Guilt always pushes us down. Conviction always takes us by the hand and lifts us back up.
Now, is guilt akin to fear, or does it create fear in us?
I think they're definitely related.
So we tell our young people, you know, We want you to fortify your souls with faith food, not fear food. We could, in essence, tell them we want you to take that faith and be grace-filled, not guilt-filled.
Yes, I think that's a great way to say
it. I see so many connections there. One of your titles of one of the chapter titles was, What Your Heart Really Needs is Perfect Love. Mm. So here we're not supposed to get entwined in perfectionism, but you use the word perfect.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, the only thing that can get rid of perfectionism is perfect love. And that's from 1 John 4:18 that says, There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. And so what replaces perfectionism is God's perfect love. Because when we really grasp that we are loved as we are, no matter what, then we can finally stop striving.
Now, do you think perfectionism is maybe people that are highly cognitively able, do you think they're more prone to perfectionism because they can see everything that needs to be done and they're maybe creative also and the scope creep of it begins mm-hmm. to escalate?
Yes, I think if you're someone who's always taking in input and processing and analyzing, then you're always probably comparing yourself to some standard. And so, yes, I would say those of us who are more the type A and thinking about life all the time can fall into perfectionism a little more easily.
What are the symptoms? Do you have a list that you can just kind of mm-hmm. say off the top of your head, the symptoms of perfectionism? So my listener can say, I might be suffering from that.
Sure. I've done a lot of research, and perfectionism can lead to depression, anxiety, a sense of isolation, ongoing physical symptoms that don't have a cause. And so all of those things, and there's actually a quiz in the book to take to help you figure out even some more, but just generally a feeling of I'm just tired all the time, and no matter how hard I try, it doesn't feel like enough. Mm-hmm. That can be the biggest indicator that maybe perfectionism is trying to get you.
And there's not a whole lot of therapists you can go to correct perfectionism.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it has to be, you know, a willingness on your part to say, okay, I have this issue. Now, how am I going to gain balance in my life?
Mm-hmm.
So let's go through some of the steps for gaining balance.
Well, I do think the first step is telling someone that you're struggling with this, because when we're honest and say, I'm a mess, I'm broken, then we can experience love from another person that can help us see that God can love us that way too. So whether it's your spouse or a best friend or a counselor or someone at your church that you trust, I think the first step is always just saying, look, this is a struggle in my life and I need someone to model grace for me. Would you do that? Would you pray for me and walk alongside me as I learn how to live differently?
I don't think that can ever be underestimated, because God will bring people into your lives. He'll bring circumstances into your life that will really help you. When you look back, you will say, I was at this point, you know, this many months or this many years ago, and I can see where God has just freed me from the chains of perfectionism.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about daring to be who you already are. What does that mean?
Well, I think one thing perfectionism takes away from us is that we try to become like someone else. We look at all these standards, whether it's from our church or our community or Pinterest, and say, well, this is the way I need to be. And when we do that, we lose who God created us to be. And so it's important to say, I'm going to ask God who I am and find out how He's created me, the strengths and skills He's given me, the ways I can serve. And then I'm going to focus on that instead of trying to be like anyone else.
You know, we have to take a break right here, but when we come back, I want to begin to put a skin on this by sharing. We can share back and forth since we both have struggled with perfectionism, and use that as a bridge for our listeners on this interesting topic of perfectionism. We're talking with Holly Girth in her book, your love no matter what. We'll be right back. You've been listening to Homeschool Companion. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Be sure and like us on Facebook at Homeschool Companion, or partner with us. Send us a contribution or a show suggestion at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783, or call us at 301-824-3162.
Homeschool Companion is a show for homeschoolers and their homeschool teachers. We offer a variety of guests featuring many topics like what to do if your child hates math or how long should you keep your child at home, to special needs children or encouraging the young author to keep writing or even publish a book.
For my first book, there's a huge pimple on my nose. I did what's called self-publishing, which meant that I had all the control of it myself.
Not everyone who listens to our show schools at home. We also cover issues that arise in small private school settings or other issues found in large public schools.
We have a small student body, about 120 students, so we have a very family-focused, family-type atmosphere on our campus.
Kids say funny things at times, and they also ask us questions, sometimes too many questions. What do you do when your child stresses you out?
And of course, we've all been there with our kids when they start asking us questions beyond what we can handle sometimes.
What homeschool issues would you like to hear us address? We all have unique situations we deal with at home with our kids. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.
Welcome back. I'm here with Holly Girth, and we're talking about the topic of perfectionism. She's recently written a book called You're Loved No Matter What, Freeing Your Heart from the Need to Be Perfect. And you can go to her website, hollygirth.com. I'll spell that out, H-O-L-L-E-Y-G-E-R-T-H. And many great Christian young people have grown up in a culture where perfectionism was so applauded that we don't realize how self-destructive that mindset is. And I promised our listeners that we would begin to put some real-life experiences, kind of flesh it out with real-life experiences. So we're just going to kind of go back and forth here, and I'll let you start, Holly.
Okay, well, my personal journey with perfectionism was I just was one of those kids that always wanted to do well, whether it was school or whatever I undertook. And so I had loving parents who didn't really push me. That just kind of came built in. And I joined a youth group that had some legalistic tendencies and found even more fuel there to be like, oh, I can, you know, do so well at all these things that are being asked of me. But eventually I burned out in high school and was just tired of being on a pedestal. So when I went off to college, I decided I was going to rebel and be the opposite of perfect for a while, and came home over Christmas break just broken. And thankfully, when I went back the next semester, God put some really godly women in my life who began to say, you know what, you do love Jesus, but you have gotten away from grace, and you've started thinking that your performance is what earns your worth in his eyes. And they really just took me under their wing and showed me a new way of being. And so that was really the first turning point in my journey with overcoming perfectionism. And then throughout my adult life too, there have just been particular seasons where God has just kept reminding me, you know, I love you no matter what, and you don't have to earn that love.
As you were speaking, I'm thinking, I know so many people who are really bound up with perfectionism. And I came from a pretty conservative background, and I was the perfect child, the perfect daughter, the perfect sister, And it just went on into my adulthood to be the perfect wife, the perfect teacher. And what happens with that is that at some point God convicts you that it really can serve a deep core of pride. And that, for me, was horrifying, because I realized then that in a way I was betraying Jesus if I was using my actions to be perfect.
Mm-hmm. I think that's
and I think others must maybe are in different stages, but how does that fill that desire in each of us, our humanists, to be proud of something we've accomplished?
Mm-hmm. I do think that there are rewards to perfectionism. Otherwise, we wouldn't do it. You know, it does get us approval. It does get us affirmation. Or otherwise, we wouldn't act that way in the first place. So I think that's a good thing to just pause and say, okay, God, why am I doing what I'm doing? Is it because there's a need, an unmet heart need? Really, mm-hmm. That's what it all comes back to. You know, you said you wanted to be a good wife, a good teacher, and that was a need in your heart that you thought, if I can just do those things, then that need will be filled. And so asking God to help us recognize that need and then saying, Jesus, you be the one to fill that need instead, can really help us start getting free.
I love this topic because it speaks to me, and I wish I could be perfect enough to say that I have never suffered from perfectionism, but I have suffered from it, and I think that God cannot use us how he would like to use us as long as we're trying to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So spiritually, how does perfectionism impact that?
Well, I call perfectionism the great paralyzer, because eventually we just decide that the safest thing is to not take risk and to not get out of our comfort zones and to just do what everyone else says we should be doing. And that is the opposite of growth. Growth is messy, and we need to make mistakes, and we are going to have to go to places where we don't know what we're doing or totally unsure and dependent on Jesus. And so if we're called to pursue growth, then we have to step away from perfectionism, because the two are opposites in many ways.
The two are opposite. Now that is a real humbling thought, to think that my perfectionism is preventing me from growing spiritually. But you're absolutely correct. I think of the whole culture in the Christian world. We really have applauded perfectionism, and now we need to step back and surrender. So the big point that we come to is surrender, or essentially giving up.
Mm-hmm.
I give up, Lord. I can't be perfect. I've tried, and I just can't be perfect. I'm letting the people around me down. Lord, am I letting you down? I can't do it. I can't do it anymore. Have you, as an adult now, ever gotten back into that perfectionistic mode? Do you have to continue on as you mature? Do you still have to continue to go back there and make sure that you're not falling into that?
Yes,
again?
Definitely. Even a couple of weeks ago, I was going through a hard time, and I just slipped back into those patterns, because I find that if that's something we've leaned on in the past, being perfect, then when we're stressed or we're tired or we're overwhelmed, that's what we go back to. And so I just had to sit in this chair that belonged to my grandpa and say, Jesus, I'm a mess. Here's how I'm really feeling. Like, I've gotten back into these patterns. Set me free all over again. And thankfully, he always does. And so I think until we get home to heaven, that's what happens. But the difference is, now I know my way back to grace. If you had asked me that when I was really in the thick of perfectionism, if you had said, Holly, how do you get back to grace from the place where you are? I wouldn't have been able to tell you. And so now sometimes I wander off, but I know my way back. And I know it just takes saying, Jesus, I've slipped into this. I've gotten off track. Like, bring me home again. Bring me back to love. Bring me back to acceptance. And he's always going to do that.
Would you mind sharing with us the steps of freeing your heart? We only have about 4 minutes left of the show, but You just share the steps. Our readers will so appreciate, and I encourage them to go to your website, hollygirth.com.
Okay, sure. So the first step is letting go of perfection in your past. So that's just saying, Lord, you're a God of grace, and I've been hurt by these people. Maybe they're even the ones who have given me false messages about perfection. So I'm going to take some time and just bring that before you and say, I forgive them and realize they're in need of grace too. And then I'm going to let that go so I can move forward with you. And then the second step is letting go of perfection in yourself. And that just means not being so hard on ourselves. And I like to say, don't say anything to yourself that you wouldn't say to the person you love most. Because God loves us equally, and so it hurts his heart just as much if we say those things to ourselves. You may need to say, Lord, I've been my own worst critic, and I've said things to myself that have hurt your heart. And I just ask your forgiveness for that, and I pray that you would help me speak the truth to myself instead. And then step three is letting go of perfection in your future. And that means letting go of needing to be in control. Perfectionism is a lot about control. We think if we can control everything, including ourselves, then we can be safe. And so when we can come to the point where we say, Lord, you're the only one who's in control, I'm going to give you my future, and I'm going to surrender, then that can help us get free too. And then the fourth step is letting go of expecting other people to be perfect. We want grace, but then we're like, everyone else needs to be perfect because that would make my life a lot easier. And so saying, you know, I'm not going to require other people to in my life to be perfect either. And just saying, these are the ways I've done that, God, and I confess that to you. And I pray that you would fill me up with the grace I need to share with others. And then letting go of the guilt and shame perfection brings. Like we talked about, if you have been carrying guilt and shame, you can just go ahead and lay those at the feet of Jesus and just say, God, I've picked up guilt and shame you never meant for me to carry, and I'm just going to lay those down and let it go. And then the sixth step is letting go of perfection as a life goal and saying, I will pursue excellence, but not perfection. And excellence just means growing every day and saying yes to Jesus and remaining in him like he tells us to, and trusting that he'll bring about the results that he wants in our lives. And then finally, the seventh step is embracing what God has for us forever. And that is recognizing we are made for perfection, just not in this life.
Yes.
And so on the days that you say, I wish I were perfect, you can think, and in heaven, one day I will be.
Yes.
And you can look at that person and say, I wish you were perfect.
Yes.
And you can say, and one day you will be. And same for your life and your house and everything else that you long for. And so the longing for perfection isn't negative. It's placed there by God as a homing beacon. And so just recognizing that as an opportunity that each time that desire comes up, that you can just say, okay, God, I'm so looking forward to being with you and to being perfect forever, but I'm not going to demand that right now.
Amen. What a wonderful way to end our show. Thank you so much, Holly, for being with us. I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.